Guesses, offstage and on the air, performance number 845. My name is Lisa Sheps. I will be your host for the day, and I am joined by my ever-loving co-host, Ms. Nicole Shiro.
Hello.
Hola. You're listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby, streaming live at koop.org. Do not go away.
Hurry, hurry, and step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Yeah. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh, yeah.
A little brains, a little talent.
It is Wednesday, October 8th, 2025. On the show today, we have City Theater's production of To Kill a Mockingbird. And later on, we're going to be talking to the folks at Scottish Rite and their show Dulce. And of course, we'll have lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, New York, Connecticut, and all presidential libraries. Stick with us.
And this queen has her aces.
Ah, Nicole, you are back.
I am.
You are back. I'm so happy to have you back.
I'm happy to be back.
Tell the folks where you were.
I was in Maine and Canada. In Japanese, that would be Mianshin Eto Canada.
Good. I was going to ask that. You were also on a boat.
I was on a boat. Yes, that was a lot of fun with all the hurricanes around and being on the boat. And to be honest with you, we had 50-foot swells and everything, but I didn't. Or 50 knots is what we were at. So that's 57-mile-per-hour winds, and the swells, I guess, were like almost 20 feet. But I didn't feel anything until I got back on the ground.
I think that's swell.
And then I looked drunken sailor with the sea legs going,
it is funny because, you know, I spent a lot of time on board ships because the Royal Caribbean was a client of mine. And you do get that even in not big seas. When you get off the ship, your legs are a little wobbly.
Yeah, I don't.
You didn't even realize how.
I normally don't. And I normally don't get seasick, and I didn't get seasick or feel it. But it was that rough that I was like, oh, my brother was like, are you drunk? I was like, no, I'm not.
Well, yes, but that wasn't the point.
Oh, wow. But I ate a lot of lobster. A lot of lobster and a lot of chowder. It was wicked good.
Wonderful. Well, let's introduce the folks that are sitting with us here today. We have Cece Sanchez. Hi, Cece.
Hi.
We have Robert Stevens.
Hello.
Welcome back, Robert. And new to the show, Cameron Smith.
Hello.
Likely last name. Smith. Okay. Well, it was funny to me. So did you recognize that song I played that I can't remember the name of because I didn't write it down?
No. I didn't have the headset on, so.
With a little top, a little talent, and an emphasis on the latter.
Oh, yeah.
From Damn Yankees.
Yeah, it was like Damn Yankees, okay.
And that was.
Why'd you choose it?
Well, I'm about to say.
Oh.
But first of all, that was B.B. Newworth singing it from the 1994.
Revival.
And they're doing a production of it. I think you're going to like this. There's an article in the New York Times that I read today. There's a production of Damn Yankees being done at the PAC what's it called? I just lost the name of it. I'm going to find it. It's in here somewhere. But it's in the 9/11 Memorial Park, and they have that PAC there. No, it's going to be there. It's not there now. Oh, my gosh. Currently, it's at the Arena Stage in D.C.
I was like, I thought there was one somewhere in another area. So that's it. And they're going to move it to the
PAC.
Outside to the 9/11 Memorial Site or inside?
I forgot the name of it.
Saying the PAC. I don't know what the heck that.
Performing Arts Center. There's a name for it. I'll come up with it.
Where is it? When you go into the museum down below?
I have not been there. Since it opened. It only opened a couple of years ago. But that's where
I don't know. I physically don't know where it is.
I've been
there
a bajillion times. The Jellicle Ball.
The Jellicle Ball was there?
Happened there, yes.
Mm.
Yeah. Anyway, so there's going to be another Broadway revival of Damn Yankees. And it is, you're going to love this, I think. I think you're going to love this, by a woman named Haley Swindle is the producer. Do you know who she's related to?
Who's she related to?
One George Steinbrenner.
Yes. I know. She's the granddaughter of the Yankees. Yeah,
and she's also an actor. She's been on Broadway.
I did see all this now that you're saying this. Yeah, Steinbrenner was not a good man.
He was mean. But I have to tell you, at that point in my... Y'all feel free to join in this conversation. At that point, when Steinbrenner and Billy Martin were constantly feuding, that was the time that I was following baseball. So I was... Anyway. Richard Adler and Jerry Ross wrote the music. The book is by George Abbott and Douglas Wallop. It won 7 Tony Awards in 1956.
Yeah, it won a lot then.
So this current one is directed by Sergio Trujillo, which I just love to say his name.
I know. It's an interesting choice as a director for Damn Yankees. I mean, I love it, but I was just like, yeah, wouldn't it put those two? It's like learning Rocky wrote Stayin' Alive. It just makes no sense.
And they did some substantive changes to it because it was a little problematic. It was
a little sexist and dated.
So they adapted it. Will Power, Doug Wright, and Lynn Ahrens adapted it. And I have some...
Just so you know, it's not my favorite musical.
That's a lot of people's not.
Yeah,
musical,
I like the music from it. There's some great songs, but yeah, not my jam.
So Kathleen Marshall directed a benefit concert of it for Roundabout Theater, and during during one of the numbers that's particularly offensive to women, she had ensemble walking across the stage that read, "These lyrics were written in 1955.
Okay, that's kind of funny.
I think it's kind of clever.
That's absolutely hilarious. We could do that a lot more often and be okay.
So here's an example. With permission, they changed the lyric that read, "There was that waitress back in Kansas City, built for comfort, dumb but pretty." The new lyric is, "I'm in this card game back in Kansas City, got a hand that ain't too pretty." So, yeah. But what I found interesting is they also took into account that they didn't want to appear too woke because of our current state of affairs. So they had to be careful to not go too far in the fairnessness of everything, lest they be deemed too woke. And,
yeah,
the,
that,
and
that
those
tight
people.
Rope.
Yeah. So, but I just found that interesting.
Cool beans.
Damn Yankees.
Not my jam.
That was the movie was Gwen Verdon, wasn't it?
Yes. It was.
Yeah.
It was.
CeCe, no, you know that. That's way before your time.
I did go to school for musical theater.
You
so
did?
Some history. Yes,
did
I
not
did.
Know that. So what do you think of Damn Yankees?
I am not the biggest fan of Golden Age. I think the music is a lot of fun. I think a lot of it, it's pretty dated. But if you're going for just a good time, that's what I think they're there for now.
The thing I don't like about those musicals, take the dated out of it, I still don't like South Pacific, like all the, I just don't like those musicals.
And yet, South Pacific
I find
was,
some of the music really good.
South Pacific was ahead of its time.
Yes.
So they were, yeah.
Yes, I get it. That's okay. It's not like, just like Hedwig and the Angry Inch is not everybody's jam. It's okay.
Okay.
I have mine.
All right, we got
it.
We figured it out. We're good. You got it.
But I do like the pajama game, ironically, in that genre of musicals.
Yeah, okay. All right, let's see what we're going to talk about next. How about Weather Girl?
Just tell us about
name.
Weather Girl.
Well, there's a show called Weather Girl.
I know. Tell us about it.
I just love the idea of this. It's a one-person show starring a Julie McDermott, and it is written by Brian Watkins, and it's a dark comedy. It's currently running at St. Anne's Warehouse, which I've never been to. Have you been there?
I have not.
It's supposed to be amazing.
So I've heard.
Shout out to
I
Richard Serrato, who I talked to this about. He said, you have to go to St. Anne's. That's where the cool stuff is happening.
Oh.
But you have to go to Brooklyn.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't normally make
who wants
it
to, do that?
To the boroughs when
anyway.
I'm...
Me neither.
Back home.
So anyway, it's a
and
dark...
there's nothing against Brooklyn. I just normally don't have the time.
Okay. I stayed in Brooklyn once when I went to New York for one time, and it was quite convenient, although it still took me a long time to get into the
exactly.
city.
Exactly. I don't have the time.
It's playing through October 12th, which is just in a few days. So if you want to go see it, you better go right now. And it's kind of a network. It's kind of like the movie Network. She has a blow up on stage about climate change. It's directed by Tyne Raffaele, which is a great name to say.
I was like, that's another fun name.
But it looks like fun. And it's got this, she starts out as that bubbly. And this is the thing, I don't know when this happened. Robert, you're of a certain age. I'm of a certain age. When did weather people become the comic release of the news? It's been a long time.
It was in the, sometime.
I don't know. Willard Scott was always being funny back in
Willard
the day.
Willard Scott was always funny. Yeah. Al Broker was funny.
But yeah, but Willard's it, like,
I think
it
really didn't get to local until 70s, maybe.
Anyway, so yeah. So she's playing that perky weather girl, always fun, and then she has a mental breakdown, if you will, where she needs to speak her mind. I think it's good. And the picture I have shows her on a green screen.
I was like, the green screen.
what a fun set.
But yeah, it was always kind of a big jar because you would go from, especially when I was a kid, things going on in the 70s like Watergate and so on, and the anchors are very, very serious. And they're like, and over to the weather. Hey, everybody, we're having a great weekend. And look at this front coming in. I'm like, okay.
I always love the one of the opening scenes in the movie Groundhog Day, mm-hmm. where he's doing the thing on the green screen. It's funny. All right. For you, Kiss the Spider-Woman. The movie comes out in 2 days.
Not for me.
You're not for... Is it because of J-Lo?
Oh, yes.
You know, she's coming to Broadway and kissing the Spider-Woman.
And I will not be there. Like, way to ruin Terrence McNally and Candor and Epp. But then,
well,
you know.
She could surprise you. You've been surprised by other things.
Nothing that woman could do, absolutely, positively not.
Okay.
She'd need to be a new human.
Anyway,
and that's not going to happen.
So she is...
doing Kiss of the Spider-Woman.
No, also, I just noticed the movie just came out. I know. I just noticed that she shared the choreography credit with Sergio Trujillo.
Yes.
But her co-star in the movie is someone called Tona Tua, who is billed as a multi-hyphenate performer,
mm-hmm.
which I've been seeing that term a lot. I had to look it up. I think it's a weird term. Let's talk about this.
Multi-hyphenate.
Does anybody know what it means?
No.
Means multi-hyphenate would mean not just like triple threat, but also does like art and DJing and they're an artist.
Why can't they just say multi-discipline?
Yes, it's a multi-discipline.
Yeah, and multi-hyphenate sounds...
That's what multi-hyphenate is.
Multi-hyphenate sounds so pretentious.
Author, writer, painter, poet, singer, dancer.
Yeah, maybe. But anyway, so J-Lo is looking forward to her Broadway debut.
Good for J-Lo.
As Kiss of the Spider-Woman. okay, and then of course we have to talk about Dolly Parton, who, as we know, we have the Broadway show coming in at some point.
Yes, starring a Houstonian, the Dolly Parton musical.
Yeah, it's called something clever. I forgot.
It's the Dolly Parton musical.
Hello, Dolly.
Hello, Dolly. The Dolly Parton musical.
I think so. Anyway, so we
Starring a Houstonian.
We all heard that her sister tweeted out saying, send prayers for Dolly Parton, and everybody thought she was dying.
Well, it was the day she posted that after Dolly announced that she had to cancel her residency in Vegas.
Correct.
She's having surgery for some undisclosed illnesses, but don't worry, folks, I'll be okay. That's what Dolly put out. And then her sister went all, it's bad prayers.
Yeah,
so
prayers.
Freaked everyone out.
Yeah.
She's evidently a big person of faith, but it was my TikTok blew up with, oh my God, Dolly's dying. I don't know if I could handle that.
No, and Willie Nelson's sick right now, and there's not enough bubble wrap for the two of them because I will mentally not be able to handle that. Just letting you know.
Okay. Speaking of other, at least in my mind, controversial people, I don't know that we talked about it on this show. Oh, and I don't have any article on it, so I'm going by memory.
Oh.
Dylan Mulvaney has got her show.
The new one-woman show.
It's either opened or opening. It's a show with music.
I think it just open or just had previews last weekend. Yeah, and it's opening this week.
I am so ambivalent about this person.
Oh, really?
Well, because so she's a trans woman. Mm-hmm. I am a trans woman, and I knew about her on TikTok. She was all over my TikTok, and she was so performative, so white, so not a person of color, and doing all those things that I did when I was going through transition as she did, which is really kind of obnoxious as I look back on it. She's giving a lot of fame. Back to Richard Serrato, who we talked about just a moment ago. He went to see the show and he said it wasn't too bad. It wasn't great.
So she was a big performer before she transitioned.
That I didn't know. I didn't know what her.
Yeah. She had Broadway credits for Book of Mormon and.
She did?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, I'm feeling a little bit better.
And something else. So, like, a really deep rooted theatrical career. And I was happy to see her go back to doing what she does instead of being online performing for other people and doing things.
She just drove me crazy.
Yeah,
when I watched
I'm on
her.
The same page with that one. So I thought the show was witty when I started. At first, I was like, please. And then I started reading about the show, and I'm like, this is kind of witty and smart. What a way to. So smart, but
I'm still ambivalent about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I'm on the same page, but I before I would have been like, no, I'm not going. But now I'd be like, yeah. Maybe I would.
Yeah, if I get a free ticket.
So there you go.
All right, we've been joined by a couple other people here in the studio. We have Bridget Farias-Gates. Hi, Bridget.
Hello.
You got to talk right into the microphone.
Hello, good to see you both.
And Kevin Gates.
Good afternoon. How's
no relation.
Doing? No.
I know. Those of you watching the video cam, Bridget just made a sound
like
made
gotcha.
A face like, no, total relation. Anyway, feel free to join in the conversation. We're almost done, actually. You know what's happening tonight? I think it's tonight. Beetlejuice.
It is tonight.
And the interesting thing about this is they, which I actually appreciate and respect them for this. They don't have a lot of previews.
No.
Because
they've been on the tour.
They're on the tour, and it's really just a stop on the tour. And I get, so one of the...
We had the young Lydia on the tour in the Houston, and did it come to the Austin? I can't remember if we had it.
Yes,
in
it did. I didn't get to see it.
So this young Lydia, she made her debut on the tour. She is so good. She
Amazing.
Is so stinking good, and she's taking over and doing it on Broadway.
So is Justin Collette.
Yeah, he had done it before and done
right.
back. She's brand new. And just, and she's actually a Latina girl.
Is
young
she
girl.
Local?
No, she's
not.
I had her do a whole bunch of interviews for us.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Okay. So I like that they're not having a bunch of previews. I talk about on one of the podcasts I listen to when shows are either revived or they're making a move from off Broadway to Broadway. And they only have like a week of previews. It and people are surprised by that. No, previews are made when you're building a show and you want to make changes.
Like the Purple Rain. Yeah. Which already extended today.
Yeah. So we should say for those, and we'll hear a lot about this in the coming weeks, Nicole Shiro is going to see Purple Rain in Minneapolis when it opens.
I am.
That, of course, is the Prince musical.
I am. And we will talk all about it. And
anyway,
the Paisley Park.
Also, starting previews tonight is one Queen of Versailles.
Yes, with our Hunter.
With our Hunter Region
and
our
Kettner.
Christian Chenoweth.
Mm-hmm. And the F. Murray Abraham.
F. Murray Abraham, who's a little controversial these days.
Yeah, I still love him. I think he's a great actor.
Yeah. And our Lindsay Fiorentino.
And our Lindsay Fiorentino.
Who is my best friend.
She is your new best friend.
Yeah, and our Stephen Schwartz.
Mm-hmm.
So lots of good luck and good thoughts for Queen of Versailles as they enter previews. And I'm sure they're having a good 2 or 3 weeks of previews.
Yes, they are having a few.
I should say this in fairness to the previews thing. So back in my day, critics were not allowed to come until opening. Now the critics come starting like almost a week before opening.
Yeah.
So you really have to be done a week before opening. So in fairness to those.
But then they hold it. So you think they all came
right.
out at the same time. It's
but
like a
the show
Jedi
is,
mind
the
trick.
Show is frozen a week prior
yes.
to opening. Whereas back in the day, we were still doing new stuff like the show I did. Which
When you walked barefoot to school 4 miles or uphill.
And both ways. Yeah.
Yep. With no jacket.
All right. We're going to our last little thing here. which is A Christmas Carol, which we, you know, we just don't talk about enough here.
Oh, Lisa, when I was in Boston, I learned something new about Christmas Carol for you. The Parker House Hotel, which is one of the most haunted hotels in the United States and where the Parker House roll and the Boston cream pie came from. Amazing things happened there. One thing was, it is the first place Charles Dickens ever read A Christmas Carol out loud in the United
States.
There you
go. I love that. I love that story.
I was like, Lisa Sheps is going to love that.
So now I have to backtrack to that first thing we talked about when I said Damn Yankees was playing at the PAC.
It's not?
It's not. I don't know where it's playing. I was confused because...
What's playing at the PAC? The
Christmas
Carol.
Okay. It is the Perelman Performing Arts Center, which is why I couldn't see it because it wasn't in that article. So, and this is Jack Thorne's A Christmas Carol. And this was the one coming out of London's Old Vic, which has been playing there.
I was like, this is the one they've been doing for
forever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's playing, it's opening December 4th, preview starting December 23rd, and plays through December 28th. And guess who Dickens? Guess who Scrooge is going to be?
Who?
I think this is perfect casting. Michael Cerveris.
Oh, yes.
He's kind of cranky.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
Yeah.
I love him. You know, the original manuscript to A Christmas Carol, you may see at the J.P. Morgan Library in Manhattan. It's on display.
Can't wait to go there.
Mm-hmm.
There was also a Broadway run in 2019 with LaChanze and Andrea Martin.
I do remember that. Andrea Martin.
Andrea, yes. I know so many people that are Andrea.
She's a funny lady, yeah. That Andrea Martin.
She is. And... It won 5 Tony.
Well, year. I mean, it was LaChanze and Andrea Martin. Are you really surprised by that?
I'm not. A little bit. So that's it. So we're going to go take a little break and we're going to listen from A Christmas Carol. Nothing to Do With Me. We'll be right back.
Mr. Scrooge, I'm sorry, but sir, might I go? Might you?
We have returned. We are back. You are listening to me, Lisa, and
me, Nikuru,
on Offstage and on the Air on 91.7 KOOP. La la.
Dun, 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 dun.
So now you've been listening to them, but let's reintroduce our guests for the real reason why they're here.
The people we have today.
And that is City Theater's City Theater Company's production of To Kill a Mockingbird.
Say that fast 6 times.
I could do it.
Okay.
We have the director of this piece, Bridget Farias-Gates. You got to say hello.
Hello.
Yeah. Okay.
Radio can't see your thumbs up.
Thumbs up doesn't work on the radio.
In case you were wondering.
And we have the actors, Robert Stevens. Hi, Robert.
Hi there.
Kevin Gates.
Hello again.
Relation. And Cameron Smith.
Here.
Hey, here. Wonderful. Thank you. I'll
it's like
set you off the roll.
Roll call.
All right, so this is To Kill a Mockingbird. This is not the Aaron Sorkin version. Yeah, shaking your head doesn't work on the air.
Sorry, I know.
Take that microphone because I'm going to talk to you for a little second.
It is not the Aaron Sorkin. Absolutely.
Which
not.
Is interesting. I had to go back and look it up because remember when the Aaron Sorkin version came out and Aaron Sorkin and our wonderful, oh my God, I just forgot his name. Who's the evil producer? Scott Rudin.
Rudin.
Made everybody who was doing it, they took the rights away. And we actually, there was a company in Buda, I think, that had their sets all up and everything, and they came on the show.
Yes.
And I thought that through the, what's her name? Who wrote the book?
Harper Lee.
Through the Harper Lee Foundation or whatever that controls it, they had said that they were no longer going to do this version, who was written by, what's his name?
Christopher Sturgill.
But you're doing it.
We are. So actually there was like a huge settlement and debate and a big, long lasting lawsuit.
Some
about
hullabaloo.
It. Yeah, absolutely. And as Andy at City Theater likes to say, it was like a David versus Goliath kind of thing because it was a small kind of publishing company versus like
that had
Sorkin
been doing it since like the 60s.
60s or 60s, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And Andy's been wanting to do it for a long time. But again, the rights were on lockdown, and then even after the Sorkin production was done, you still couldn't get it because
it went on tour. It was like the tour, and the lawsuit
it was
going to
be the official. I thought it, and I guess I thought it still was, but I guess they did not win in the courts, and is now you could choose which one you could
yes,
do.
Yes, right.
Okay.
Yeah, and Sergil has the two versions as well, like the original and then the one where like the adult scout is the narrator. That's kind of the more like updated version.
Oh,
that's
like the movie. Now that you
which
say
is the one
that
we're doing.
Yeah, okay.
Amazing. Okay. All right, so for those that don't know, what is To Kill a Mockingbird about? Is it about a bird?
It is not about a bird.
Is it about making fun of people?
No.
Okay,
well,
I'm confused then. What's it about?
Do you guys want
to
jump
in? Anybody else wants to jump in?
Yeah.
Well, I'd say it is told through the perspective of a young girl who's growing up when this event is all the talk in the town, where a black man has been accused of attacking the daughter of a local guy. And the whole thing goes to trial, and the trial is a big part of the show. And the evidence comes out, and we learn that it could not possibly have been the black man who was responsible for the crime.
Sure.
You know, but then events still play out. I don't know how...
Yeah, you shouldn't give it away. No,
book.
The folks can go see it if they want to get the.
I mean, keep in mind, this is the 1930s, so
in
context
Alabama,
is very important.
100%. Yeah. So, all right. Cameron, who do you play?
I play Tom Robbins.
Okay. And he is the.
He is the man accused.
He's the man accused. That was the word I wanted to say. So, how is that for you?
It's interesting. It's been...
It's a loaded word.
I'm learning a lot of things.
Remember, the director's sitting right next to you.
She can't hear you, though. There's a fake wall right there.
I've had a lot of fun, but I'm learning a lot about myself doing the work as well.
Sure. I will say the folks that aren't watching on the webcam, and oh, this is only my observations, you seem kind of young. So...
I'm 25.
Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of the... of the overt racism that was in the South post-Reconstruction is not something you have direct knowledge of.
Yeah, yeah. It's things I've heard from my grandparents and mm-hmm, whatnot. Mm-hmm. But it still affects me. Certainly.
Sure.
I can imagine hearing and learning and then having to partake in that, because you do partake in it when you're performing. That's got to be a whole, like, how do you check the emotion and then go back to doing your thing?
Well, like I said, I learned a lot doing that. So I realized I had this sort of unique defense mechanism. I guess it's not that unique, but during the rehearsal process, I would sort of laugh when something offensive came my way.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't realize that was a defense mechanism.
Sure.
until it finally hit me. And that was a very deep moment for me. And, you know, since that moment, I needed to take a little break. And
well, we talk an awful lot on the program. And in theater, oftentimes we're dealing with issues that the actors really need to take care of themselves.
Yes.
And it sounds like this is one of those instances.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well,
amazing. Kevin, who are you playing?
I'm playing Atticus Finch.
I've heard of him.
Yeah. He is the lawyer.
He's the good guy in this.
Yeah, he's a good guy and like a really good guy. And I think it's interesting, kind of, he is really centered in the story, despite the fact that Tom is the one who's really going through it,
sure.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Which was of a time.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, that is the book and that is the play. I think we are conscious of that. And Bridget has made some really minor adjustments to try to kind of put Tom a little more back in the story, particularly at the ending. And I think it works really well.
Didn't the Sorkin version focus more on Tom? I don't know. Have you read it?
Yes.
Yeah,
it did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I still feel like maybe not as much as
it could be.
It should.
Get right up on that microphone, Bridget.
I was saying,
I'm sorry.
I feel still not as much as it should have and could have, considering, you know, what we know now and being able to be more aware of. Mm-hmm.
There are so many shows that fix, and I'm doing air quotes, the problems of an older piece, and they never really 100% succeed. So Well, that's amazing. Kevin, who are you playing? No, you are Kevin. Sorry. Robert, who are you playing?
I am playing Judge Gilmer.
Judge Gilmer. Here come to Judge. Here come to Judge.
Oh, Judge Taylor. Sorry.
Taylor. Okay.
Right. Gilmer's
who's
the name
Judge
of the
Gilmer?
No, the prosecutor's Mr. Gilmer.
Oh, okay. Well, you're having an identity.
Nobody ever, everybody just calls me Judge, so that's what I stick to. He's an interesting character because he's kind of caught between all of this. I think his priority is the law, and he sees how the law is being perverted here. So I don't think he's necessarily what we would call woke now or super sympathetic to black people, but he's seeing the law being perverted in this case,
sure.
And it really bothers him quite a bit. And, obviously I'm older and white. I remember the very post civil rights era.
Well, that wasn't obvious to our listeners.
Yeah. Okay.
Unless they're watching the webcam.
All right. If you're watching the webcam, hi, I'm older.
There's no webcam up right now. So
but I don't think I don't think a black man would be the judge at that point.
No.
So.
No, I would.
But,
no.
I'm old enough to remember just post civil rights era. I'm old enough to remember getting in fights because I talked to black kids when I was at elementary school and got called some unsavory names for that. So it's bringing up some stuff in me, and I'm sure nothing at all like it's bringing up in Cameron or, any black people coming to see the show. But I feel the echo of it.
Yeah. So, Bridget, what was your approach as director as you approached this? And first of all, so this is something that Andy, the artistic director of City Theater, something he always wanted to do, or was this something you brought to him?
No, he has wanted to do it for a long time. I was actually supposed to be directing Julius Caesar for him.
At Two Brute?
Yes. And the royalties company contacted him because he's been so relentless in his pursuit of the show and said, hey, listen, it's available. He wanted to jump on it right away before other people did.
Mm-hmm.
And
sure.
Contacted me and said, hey, listen, I'd really love to do the show. I think you'd be a great fit for it. I want, XYZ and a director. Are you down for this? And I was like, yes. Absolutely.
Amazing. So I'm looking at the cast list right now. There is a lot of people in this show.
I was just about to ask how many people are in the show.
Yeah, we have 24 actors.
Whoa, that is a lot of people.
It is.
That is a lot.
Mm-hmm. We have two different actors playing the role of Scout. They're sort of alternating.
Oh, okay.
That makes sense.
Are they
12-ish?
Okay, oh, so you really went with the age and didn't do the adult thing.
Good for you.
I love it. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And still a little older than Scout's supposed to be, but also old enough to be able to memorize all of those lines and sort of take on the weight of the character as well.
Yeah.
And the boys are both children as well, too.
Okay. So why do people want to come see this particular production of this show?
Not only are all 24 cast members really phenomenal and amazing, I think we as a team have tried to really focus on, I really wanted this. Sorry. We've talked a lot about how the show is so focused on Atticus. And while Atticus is a good guy, and especially for that time period, he really is just being a decent human being.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And it was really important to us to sort of really spend the focus on Tom and Tom's relationship with the people in this community and Tom and his wife, which is often a really disregarded character in the script. And so we've tried to highlight their relationship and the impact on his family, when all of this happens to him. So I think, you get the classic story, the classic script that you know it, but through staging and some, visual storytelling, I feel like this is more than just what the script gives you, and trying to sort of put it in a modern lens and really kind of pull the focus to our actors in the show who are most impacted by this material.
And if I could chime in on that just quickly, two things that I think are really missing in our culture right now are empathy and nuance.
Really?
And I think these are two things that the show really highlights, and things surprised me in this show that I think are really relevant. Like, one of the things Atticus says is, no matter how bad things get, remember, this is still our home.
Yep.
And I think there are a lot of people who may feel displaced by the way things are around us right now, but we still have the right to be here and to express ourselves.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, we are completely out of time. The show is open now, correct?
It's open.
And right. How long does it play?
We have two more weekends, so Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the next two weekends.
It closes on the 19th of October.
Correct.
Wonderful. And where do folks go to get more information? I can tell you if you don't have it in your head.
There we go. I was like, City Theater website, but I'm not even quite sure.
CityTheaterAustin.org.
There we go.
Well, thank you all so much for coming on
the
show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. That was Bridget Farias Gates, Cameron Smith, Kevin Gates, and Robert Stevens, all of City Theater Company's production of To Kill a Mockingbird, playing now through October 19th. For more information, you may visit citytheateraustin.com. And this is a song from Alice by Heart. It's called Isn't It a Trial? We'll be right back.
Isn't it a trial?
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole.
We are here. We are here.
We are here. I could have talked about To Kill a Mockingbird forever. I didn't get to see it when it was here.
You didn't see it when it was on the tour?
Did not. I really wanted to.
Yeah, it had who did we have when we had it here? We had Richard Thomas.
We had Richard Thomas.
You want to know what?
I do want to know what.
He was really good in it.
That's what I heard.
Yeah.
That's what I heard. Did you see it?
I did. CeCe? Yes. He was fantastic.
He did everything.
Yeah. Well, CeCe's not afraid. CeCe's out and about.
If my memory serves me correctly, it was supposed to come here and then the pandemic happened.
It was the reschedule because I still had it on Houston on the schedule and we did have it here again. So it was a reschedule. Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. Let's jump right into our local stuff. Oh, and I should say...
The Sev of life those years, man.
Yes. I should say we've been joined by Luisa Apolaya Torres. Did I do that right?
Yes, you did.
Amazing.
Look at you, Lisa.
So I just want to highlight one little thing that's happening here locally, which has been fun for a lot of people. ATX Theater is organizing, this is their second annual or third annual Halloween costume and thrift sale. On October 11th and 12th at the Memorial United Methodist Church. And it's all, you know, there's going to be a lot of ground floor theater costumes there. It's like, you know, you want to get your Halloween costume.
It's a smorgasbord of fun.
And it is a fundraiser for ATX Theater and many other theater companies. So what they say is you can give us your costumes that we can sell as a fundraiser for us, or you can come and sell your own costumes. So It's really a good thing. So you can get information about that at atxtheater.org. Let's go through our list. It's a big one.
All right. You starting or am I starting?
You're starting.
Okay. We have at Austin Playhouse two shows. The Importance of Being Earnest, playing through the 19th, and the sweet little show, The Heart Sellers, which is timely with the Heart Seller Act and everything, and that runs through the 19th on the studio stage.
Filigree Theater Company has Summer in Smoke, and it's playing through October 12th at The Link.
City Theater, we just spoke to them, To Kill a Mockingbird, now playing through the 19th.
Georgetown Palace Theater has In the Heights through the 2nd of November.
Holy schmoly!
Holy schmoly!
Holy schmoly! Apprehension. Apprehension is playing now through the 11th. No, through November 1st. Hello,
11-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1.
November 1st at Hyde Park Theater.
John Bollinger's Salty Bananas plays through October 26th at Sterling Stage.
The Baron's Men, Much Ado About Nothing, through October 25th at the Curtain Theater. And I'm going to say this is the last thing at the Curtain Theater. So, like, in case you... ever wanted to see it, this is what's happening.
We're not allowed to convince you to do stuff, but the Curtain Theater is such a special place.
This is the
only time.
And
this would be your last chance to get out there and see it. Have either of you been to the Curtain?
No, I haven't.
Well, now's your chance.
It's a replica of an Elizabethan theater on the lake. It's so special.
Lovely. Yeah.
So
it has been, that land has been sold to developers.
It has.
And it will go away. I have been told, by the way, that the Baron's Men will sally forth. And they will get a new home.
Correct. And the Young Shakes kids will do the same, too.
Correct. They may be. They're talking to us about ground floor theater.
I know. I gave the Ann Ciccolelli your info to reach out to you.
So she's, I believe, in the calendar penciled in at
this
point.
I knew that was happening, Lisa.
Okay. La Fenice has Speak No More playing from the 11th of October to the 2nd of November.
Jarrett Productions with Mirror Lake playing October 16th through November 2nd at the Trinity Street.
As if we didn't get enough of the Importance of Being Earnest, it's also playing at ACC from October 17th through 26th.
Alchemy Theater has, this is the great show and creeps me out, but Night Mother playing October 16th through the 26th. Yes, you're all like, isn't that a yes, our guests are making creepy faces. It's at the playing at Zach Theater's Wizen Hunt.
And then Austin Rainbow Theater has Sagittarius Ponderosa, which opens on the 17th of October and plays through November 1st
That's
at Ground
title.
Floor Theater. It is. Mm-hmm. The auditions we have, Rude Fusion, which I now want to know what Rude Fusion is because I went to the Rude Mix website. That's when they do a co-production with someone where they offer them something that's called Rude Fusion. Mm-hmm. So Rude Fusion and the Rude Mix is auditioning for A Bad Influence on October 19th. Zach's Charlotte's Web auditions are tomorrow on the 9th.
Texarts. That's that bluegrass version with the aerialists and stuff.
It's the BGV.
Yeah, with the Alan Robertson.
Yeah. Texarts has Beehive on the 10th of November. Story Wranglers auditions tomorrow. And we have two auditions by Leela. The first one is called Everything Indian on the 9th. And then the other one is The Uninvited Guest on the 16th. And you can find, I got all that information off of atxtheater.org. You can also find audition information at CTX Live Theater. Now it's time for Today in Theater History.
Stuff happened today, and Lisa's gonna tell us
it
about
it.
It
was weird. None of the graphics came out
Stuff
for this.
Happened today.
So they did
tell
mention
us, Lisa,
that Beetlejuice
tell us about it.
Is opening, Queen of Versailles, starting its previews.
Yes.
And then also Liberation. How do I not know about Liberation?
I feel like we
it
may
says
have
it's
talked
now
about
playing
it.
At the James Earl Jones.
Really?
Yeah, and why it's in here, I don't understand. Anyway, since I don't have graphics, we're going to mix up everything here. Birthday, Sigourney Weaver's birthday.
Oh, I love that Sigourney. She 1990... just made her West End debut a couple months ago.
She did. Mm-hmm. She lived in a building in that I lived in, and I saw her in the... in the elevator a lot.
She was
She's
one of
very,
my dad's favorites.
Very tall.
Yes. Yes.
Very tall.
That's a lot because you're tall, I'm sure.
I know.
She'd be really tall.
Fool for Love opened in 2015. The Royal Family opened in 2009. Sugar Babies that I was supposed to work on.
Oh, yeah.
1979. That was with, what's his name? Mickey Rooney.
Yes.
Absurd Person Singular in 1974.
Wasn't the Judy Garland in the Sugar Babies too with the Mickey Rooney? I think she was in that one also.
Maybe. It did not do well.
No, that's okay. They were churning them out then.
And then An Evening with Mike Nichols and Elaine May.
Oh, I remember that happening. I didn't go.
Yep, I didn't either. Well, you
but
were, this
I
was
remember,
in 1960. I don't think you
I remember existed. This happened. That's why I'm saying I didn't go.
Well, you're shaking your heads. You don't know who these people are.
No, we don't. We're
Elaine
enjoying
May
your banter, though.
And Mike Nichols are comedians.
Correct.
And writers. Elaine May has got a lot of writing credits, as does Mike Nichols.
Mike Nichols has a lot, too. And Mike Nichols is married to the Diane Sawyer, right?
I don't know.
Could I think be. The Mike Nichols is married to the Diane Sawyer. Do you know who the Diane
the Mike
Sawyer
Nichols
is?
Mike Nichols is married to the Diane Sawyer.
Yeah, do you know that?
I do know Diane Sawyer,
okay,
actually.
Okay. I will confirm that. I could be wrong, but I think that is a fact.
Good, good, good. So here's what we're going to listen. We're going to listen to something from An Evening with Elaine May and Mike Nichols, and it's Telephone. And you guys, I think, might find this very interesting.
They are married, the Mike Nichols and
the
Diane Sawyer.
Okay, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When she gets a bone...
ADD. Gotta solve it. Get the
so
answer.
Back in the day, and I'm old enough to know this. I believe Nicole is old enough to know this. You could dial 411 and it was information.
Yes.
And a live person, you'd say, can I get the telephone number for CeCe Sanchez? And they would go, is that CeCe Sanchez on Main Street? Yes. Here's their number.
Wasn't that the greatest thing?
And then you could also dial O, which stands for operator.
Could you connect
and you
could me
say, to? Connect me to CeCe Sanchez. And they said, well, we'll have to get you to information first to find out her number.
Or if it was busy because we didn't have call waiting, you could be really obnoxious and be like, I need an emergency breakthrough. And then the operator would break in on the busy and go, you have a call that's trying to come in. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know
the
what
call
happens
waiting.
When you press O now. I need to try that.
The operator's still there.
Really?
But yeah, I,
okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're going to play this from, from from An Evening with Elaine May and Mike Nichols, and we might play it a little bit. You'll get a little sense of what we're talking about.
That number is listed in your directory.
Operator, there is no directory here. I swear to God.
We are back. Kim Simpson. Speaking of Kim Simpson, I did not mention what a wonderful international folk bazaar we had.
Kim was doing it. That one song had some serious fiddle that I was jamming.
And Kim Simpson is playing at Co-op's Rocktoberfest at Batch on October 19th.
Ooh.
He's the first act there. So you can get information about
this Awesome Sauce
amazing Co-op event and see the amazing Kim Simpson play at koop.org. And now let's talk to the folks that we've been talking to, but now for
let's
the reason why
show.
They're here. This is also the Scottish Rite production of Dulce, and we have Luisa Apiola.
Apolaya.
Very close, very close.
So close. Yes, so Torres close. And Cici Sanchez.
Hi.
And y'all are both performers in the show.
Yes.
Okay. Amazing. Hold on. I've got to move my chair.
Tell us about the show.
The listeners don't know, but my leg
doesn't
work.
Lisa is the injured.
How unfortunate.
No. So tell us about this show, Dulce.
Yeah. So Dulce is about a 10-year-old boy named Memo who learns that his grandmother has died. And while his mother Luisa and his sister Ceci are dealing with that grief in their own ways, Memo meets the ghost of his grandmother, Abuelita.
Abuelita.
Ooh. And together they go on a journey to try to find Abuelita's secret stash of Dulce hidden in the house. And along the way, they go through family memories, and Memo may or may not learn that family is the true treasure along the way.
Oh
yes.
And Dulce are sweets.
Dulce is sweets, yes. Candy. Yes. Yeah.
For those of us who are disabled and don't speak Spanish fluently.
The play is a bilingual play, so it's really beautiful to have lines both in Spanish and English, including Dulce.
So if I'm an English speaker and only an English speaker, will I understand it?
Oh, definitely.
Yes. Yeah. Most of the bilingual eras of the show. We're going to go with it. Bilingual eras of the show are also translated in English on stage as it's happening in the story.
Oh, great. And this is directed by Carl Gonzalez.
It is. Yes. We love him.
We love him. We love Carl.
Who doesn't? He is an oftentimes co-host here on Offstage and on the Air. So y'all have already started performing, and this is you're doing it mostly for kiddos, correct?
Yes, this is a family show for young audiences.
Yes.
We perform on the week for schools and on the weekends for the general public.
Yes.
Okay.
But we encourage all kids,
young and old.
Young and old. Young
Wonderful. And, old. And so why would I, as a 30-year-old, want to come see it?
Oh, you know, it's such a beautiful show, and like Cece said, it's a family show. So if you have ever wondered what processing grief looks like for intercultural communities, it's a really beautiful representation of that.
Yeah, and as much as it's a show about processing grief, it's also a show about intergenerational family ties and cultural identities. And it's a children's show, so it's very fun. It's very funny. I know it sounds so incredibly
sad. We say
sad.
Hashtag warm fuzzies.
Yes, it
hashtag
is warm fuzzies. We've got a lot
exactly.
of magic. We've got a lot of slapstick. It's enjoyable for everyone. Yes.
We have
like
magic.
What kind of magic?
Abuelita magic.
Abuelita Ooh. Magic.
Can you tell us one of the tricks that Abuelita does?
You Ooh. Are trying to just get all the good.
I
guess you're just going to have to come and see the show all if you really want to find out.
They do not give away their secrets.
I do like Abuelita magic.
She does.
Which, interestingly Abuelita. Enough, was my sorority name
I
in college.
Waiting for that, Lisa. I was waiting for that.
Well, no, but what you say is really interesting, and because the Latinx culture is very much family, familia, and very much multi-generational.
Mm-hmm.
And those of us who, a lot of us that were born and socialized and raised in the United States, and the white culture don't really have that so much anymore. Some people do, but it's less and less. So I think that's good to see that and see how those bonds and binds can be very important.
I have that.
I know you do. That's
but
why
I'm also
I said
Italian, Irish, Mexican, and Spanish. So there was no way it was escaping my odds.
So
but
tell us about the roles that you
it's
both
special.
Play.
Of course,
Luisa, what do you play?
So I'm an understudy for Abuelita, and I get to be an exec. eccentric, beautiful lady on stage for 45 minutes.
With magic.
With
so
magic.
You are a very young grandmother.
Yes, but you should see me in stage makeup. I need to call out Lacey, Carl's partner.
Lacey Cannon Gonzalez.
Yes, Lacey is a wonderful makeup artist that came on and just showed me how to do this beautiful stage makeup that makes me look 40 years older. And my grandma thought that I actually looked like her. So.
Oh, that's really? Nice.
Yes.
That's
yes.
wild.
And I FaceTime her.
Luisa's being humble. She is the understudy for all three of the female roles in the show.
That's a lot.
It's memorizing 70% of the script, but lovely director and lovely cast make it all worth it.
Have you been on yet?
I have.
Oh, good.
My opening was last Sunday.
Mazel tov. I'll be on. How'd it go?
Yeah. It was great. We started the rehearsal process about like a month and a half ago. I've been practicing with the actors, so it felt pretty natural. We're all very synced with each other, wouldn't you say?
A true profesh, for sure.
Oh. A profesh. Cece, what do you play?
I play Ceci, who is the 14-year-old.
Cece's playing Ceci.
Cece is playing Ceci, if you can believe.
That's a fun tongue twister.
It's a very fun
song,
tongue twister. Rehearsals were confusing. So is Ceci the
protagonist of the story?
Ceci is the older sister of the protagonist of the story.
So then Luisa is your abuelita.
Luisa is my abuelita. Okay. Yeah.
Yes. How was it? So what I love to talk about is, when an actor plays with an understudy, it's a little slightly different. Mm-hmm. Tell us about the process for you personally of working with different actors in the same role.
Honestly, Luisa made it so incredibly easy. I think that playing with the different energies on stage, Bianca mm-hmm. is our main abuelita. The different energies between Bianca and Luisa are very fun and natural to play with. I haven't found it difficult at all being on stage with Luisa in lieu of Bianca.
That's because Cece's
a Do you find yourself reacting Profesh. Differently Profesh. Or doing something different that you're like, oh,
yes,
that was different.
Oh, my because goodness.
Because of the way you're feeding off of each other.
Luisa mm-hmm. pulled my hair on stage the
oh,
other day.
I did?
And it shocked me, but we went with it and it was very fun.
Oh. See, I did not notice.
That's great. So is there music involved in this show? Because
yes.
if I know Carl Gonzalez, yes. there's music involved in this show.
Yes, we have original compositions mm-hmm. from Carl Johann. And our amazing musician, Johann.
Johann Solo.
Johann Solo. Mm-hmm. And we have live guitar.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yes. A lot of the music is based on boleros, which are traditional 60s and 70s music from Latin American cultures.
And do y'all sing in the show?
We do not sing, no. But
because I understand like you have pipes.
Yeah, we heard you got pipes. Our earlier guest, Bridget
Ferris, we just got that 411.
She came over to let us know, not just some pipes.
Ooh, well, thank you for the compliment.
Great. Well, we're just about out of time. You're playing now. How long do you play?
We play from now until November 9th. Mm-hmm. At the Scottish Rite Theatre, performances Saturdays and Sundays at 11 a.m. and 1 p.m.
Yeah, see, this is perfect for those of us who do other shows.
Yes.
Because it's typically mm-hmm. not in the same time, so you can get
daytime
a lot of
industry
people.
Daytime matinees all the way.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. And where can folks go to get more information?
ScottishRiteTheatre.org,
correct. And they spell that incorrectly with the E-R.
Yes, it is.
But great. Well, thank y'all so much for
thank
coming
you
on the show.
Very much.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Luisa, give me your middle name one more time so I don't mispronounce it.
Luisa Apolaya Torres.
Apolaya. Yes. Luisa Apolaya Torres and Cece Sanchez of Scottish Rite's production of Dulce, playing now through the 9th of November. For more information, ScottishRiteTheatre.org. And I kind of had to play...
I'm like, what did you choose?
Alba Danza. From In the Heights, which is mm-hmm, a mm-hmm. love song to Abuelita after she has passed
fitting.
Away. And I just thought it was
That is
really
a really good choice,
And
Lisa.
It's so beautiful. And yes. I happen to know it's one of Carl Gonzalez's favorite musicals. So.
It is.
I like it. It's
we'll
my mind
be right
too.
Back.
Alabanza, Doña Claudia, Señor, alabanza, 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 Doña Claudia, Señor, alabanza,
We are
back. Pretty song.
It is a gorgeous song. I just wanted to let it play.
Can I say something really quickly before we go? Good night and good luck.
Oh yes.
Yes. So good night and good luck. The George Clooney show. He broadcast it live on CNN for everyone to see, and then it was gone. It is not gone. It has been preserved. If you are interested in seeing it, it is now available on Prime Video. Some other outlets too, although I didn't see where in the list, but they said other places.
Yep.
But it is out there. It became available October 3rd.
Yeah, so.
Don't know how long.
Think it's worthwhile seeing
it. It's really good.
Have you seen it?
I watched it live. I was recording
you
it to watch
it
later.
Live.
And I stayed. I was like, we all
got. Oh, you watched it on CNN.
Sucked into it. Yeah. It's so good. I was not expecting that. It was really good.
Well, then that tells me you have it on your DVR.
I hit a race by accident. Okay. That's why I couldn't invite you over.
We got to go. We've only, I didn't
but now
see what
I
time
can.
Is. We have to make room for
Tracy Schultz.
He's going to tell us what's
like, move
new.
Move it, ladies. Move it.
So going out, we are going to play. I know you're going to love this. This is Mac the Knife, but it is Dee Snider's
Oh, yes,
version.
Yes. That's the Dee Does Broadway Oops. Album.
Yep, it is. And we're going to go out playing that. So
we'll see you next week
when we look at what's happening off stage and on the air.
Au revoir.
Oh, the sharp bait had such teeth, dear, and it shows them.